Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. Coming up later in the program at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit, we'll have the Rob Rant later this hour as well. A lot of former Titans making some news over the weekend with Derrick Henry, his performance against the Packers. Malik Willis, it's kind of like a battle between Derrick Henry and Malik Willis on Saturday night, so we'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans fall 34-26 to the New Orleans Saints yesterday. Titans are 3-13 on the season. That was their final home game. One more game coming up for the Titans against Jacksonville to close out the regular season. And one guy that made a heck of a play yesterday, and we heard the highlight earlier in the show, Chig Okonkwo with an incredible touchdown yesterday. Really good run after the catch. I mean, I would assume, Joe, that he's going to be at least a contender on the angry run stuff that Kyle Brandt does on the NFL Network. Yeah. Assume that's got to be on there. But he had three catches for 55 yards and the touchdown yesterday. If you look at him on the season, I mean, again, you're not talking about number one tight end in the league numbers or numbers that are going to blow you away. But through 16 games, Chig has 54 catches, 558 yards, two touchdowns on the season. So you're talking about a guy that I don't think is going to cost all that much in free agency. But we saw again yesterday, you know, as the chance, if you get him the ball, to do some special things with the ball in his hand. That is now a career high that he set yesterday in receiving yards with 558 on the season. His previous high was in 2023 when he also had 54 catches for 528 yards. So it's been a couple years since we've seen this type of production from Chig. The most mystifying part about Chig to me, Joe, is like he's never really been a huge touchdown guy. Like he's got 8 touchdowns in his entire career. And that's over the span of 4 seasons. And you look at, you know, what he's able to do with the ball in his hand after the catch, the size that he brings, you'd think there'd be more than that to this point. But a good reminder yesterday of what he can do. So my question is, how big of a priority is Chig this offseason if you're Mike Borgonzi? How much does all the other needs that you have factor into it? And what do you think the market's going to look like for Chig Okonkwo based on the numbers that I just threw out there?
To be fair on him not being a big touchdown guy, he's also not been on any big touchdown teams.
You know? That's very true.
Few of them to go around. But, yeah, I think he's a priority. I think he's gotten better. He definitely is. You mentioned the angry run thing. I think we've seen more and more. I think he's broken more tackles this year, I'd be willing to bet, than like – the rest of his career combined. Maybe that's a little bit of hyperbole, but he's never really been a guy like that. And I feel like he's gotten stronger, more physical. And yeah, he's good chemistry with Cam. I think you want to keep going with that. He's not a great player. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but it's not a bad thing to have a weapon like that, kind of a versatile hybrid sort of guy like that who connects well with the quarterback and can make plays for you. It's, you know, is he one of those guys who would be overpaid? You know, we're talking on the YouTube chat about like, don't overpay this receiver, that receiver, whatever. It's like, that's what free agency is. It's overpaying season, you know? So could someone do that? Sure, you know, I think he's a priority. Is it also the end of the world if he's not on the Titans next year? No. I don't think so. But it seems like you'd want to maintain some of these things that Cam has built this year and some of the chemistry he's built. We know that's going to continue to happen with these rookies from this year. I mean, that they're going to move forward and we'll see where they slot in. You want them to slot a little lower because of other additions. And certainly you'd love to have a Trey McBride or somebody like that at tight end. But I think Cam Ward is a decent priority, not the end of the world if you lose him.
Well, I think the more I look at it, I think tight end probably needs to be relatively the same next year, right? Like Helm and Chig. And then, you know, when you get beyond that and you start to fill some of these other bigger holes on the roster, then maybe you take another look at tight end, right? Like, I mean, look, who knows? Maybe Gunnar Helm this time 2 years from now is a really good starting tight end in the league. I mean, I think that's possible. I don't know that I would bet on it, but I think it's possible. But right now, with all the other stuff they got to figure out, I mean, number one, Joe, there's not a lot of guys on the roster that are in the position that Chig's in that you're going to even entertain bringing back, just because we all know this roster brings – it needs a lot of turnover. So, like, you look at the defensive side of the ball, there's going to be a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, there are some younger building blocks that they have in place, and it's probably going to be, you know, a lot of those guys back, and then hopefully a couple of additions to it. But there's not a lot of guys that are in, like, the position with Borgonzi where you're looking at that are on expiring contracts that you are giving any consideration at all to bringing back. So, like, my philosophy would be, I don't think it's going to cost all that much to keep Chig around. I think he's shown some progress and shown some ability to connect with your quarterback, which is important. And you got all this other stuff to figure out. I wouldn't add another tight end to that list. I'm not saying Chig needs to be your top priority heading into the offseason, but I would make a point if I'm the Titans trying to get him back in the fold here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't create more needs to fill where you just – more unknowns. You know, the corner situation is gonna be a total revamp. And then how good are you going to be able to be there with whatever you do, and then you put that in the context of everything else you have to do. Yeah, why have this as well? And Chig is, we've talked about it. He's a pro. He's a good guy in the locker room. I know people get mad because he like went to Belgium for a week or whatever. You know, I have no idea, but
world traveler this past off.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you better not have any of those stickers on your suitcases from other countries. You need to be studying film, grinding film the entire offseason. No, he's a good guy to have around. So I think it's a good idea for sure. Yeah, like if he is, some guys are like, hey man, that like I'm gonna get out there, because you look, agents know that, especially if they have an inkling, you know, of a team or two that may be really interested in their client.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, like, you're gonna get like, we're gonna get overpaid basically. And so that happens too. And if it does, you know, the future of the Tennessee Titans doesn't rest on that decision, but I think it'd be good for him to be back.
Set back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in James to the program. James, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. I just kind of wanted to go along with what you were saying. I think the biggest fear with the athleticism that Chig's shown this year and the connection with Cam is a tight end that we're familiar with, and Delanie Walker leaving the Niner and coming to Tennessee and actually, you know, showing out because he gets paired with a better quarterback and a better system.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I appreciate the call, James. Like, I don't know that Chig is ever going to be Delanie Walker, but like yesterday is a pretty – that's a heck of a play he made yesterday. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be all of a sudden making those plays every week. But for what I think he's going to cost, which is not all that much, like the ability to get the ball in his hands and to have him make some plays like that for your quarterback is a good thing. And, again, like if let's say you don't re-sign him. Well, you've got Helm, which I think you feel good about, but then you've got to go find another tight end. Like, it's not like you'd just be okay with Gunnar Helm and then a couple of scrubs in the tight end room next year, right? Like, I don't think Gunnar Helm has arrived to that point where it's like, yeah, that's Gunnar Helm's room, and then we'll worry about everybody else behind it after that.
I would like to point out that DMR made a nice play yesterday.
He did. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it is Gunnar Helm and DMR.
Like, that was one of those extend plays too, by the way. It ended up being just a little dump over the middle scramble drill, but another one of those like 11-second plays until he threw the ball.
Well, like if I told you right now that was the tight end room next year, was those three guys again. Like, yeah, like in that, you're hoping that Gunnar Helm continues to take some steps and gets better, and you know, I guess is your number one tight end moving forward. But, like, I would probably sign up for that right now if I'm a Titans fan of, all right, let's at least just have a tight end position, a position group that we feel decent about heading into next year. And then we can, if need be, in the next year or two, try to go find that game breaker guy. I mean, none of the, I don't think Helm, Okonkwo are game breakers at the tight end position. But I also don't know if the Titans have the luxury of trying to go find that this offseason with everything else they got to do.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a, like if they were where they are, in where it looks like they're going to end up in the draft, and there was a Bowers or a Warren or something, you know, then there'd be a discussion. And I,
Eli
maybe
Stowers.
I'm missing. Yeah, but he's not going to, I mean, he's not going to go that high, right?
No, I don't think so.
So I, there's just not, and he's good. He's going to be good. He's going to get drafted high. But it, to me, it would have to be one of those, oh my God, you can't pass up on this kind of talent. And there isn't that. And so, yes, if you tell me that's the room, then I'm saying, great. How's the corner room look? How's the offensive line look? Is there a difference maker at receiver? You know, is there another edge you can play, et cetera, et cetera? Well, you know, once you get into all those, then it's kind of like a no-brainer that some of these rooms, if they're just okay, have to stay the same.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. There, it was a big weekend for some former Titans, including one that continues to climb up the all-time list. And by the time he's said and done, may end up being like the greatest running back to ever play the game. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
I'm so thankful and so blessed, and God has been so good. And every teammate, coach that has contributed, you know, throughout my career for me to have those accolades and the success I've had, I'm just very appreciative. You know, as a kid, you know, names you mentioned, you know, growing up hearing those names, idolizing those guys, and my name to be mentioned with theirs is just so a surreal moment for me and something that I always cherish.
That's Derrick Henry over the weekend after he just absolutely destroyed my Green Bay Packers. I mean, could not stop him. It was crazy. He ran for 216 yards and 4 touchdowns on 36 carries over the weekend, Joe, which has now vaulted him to, with one game left, as you mentioned earlier in the show, a huge game coming up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Derrick Henry, again, has found himself right around the 1,500-yard mark. He is at 1,469 yards at the age of 31. He is almost 32. His birthday is coming up here in a few days where he'll be 32 years old. He is now, I guess, within shouting distance. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bills do with James Cook, who is currently leading the way at 1,606 yards for the NFL rushing lead. Jonathan Taylor is at 1,559. And we know he's going to play. And Henry's at 1,469. So it's unlikely that he's going to outright win the NFL rushing title again. But here he is again. I mean, those two guys I just mentioned ahead of him are 26 years old. Achan's right behind him at 24 years old. And he's at 31, almost 32. About to be at another 1,500-yard season and just continues to move up the ranks of the all-time rushing list. He's closing in on 13,000 yards for his career, which he very well may get this weekend, Joe. He's at 12,892 at the moment. So, you know, 108 yards, and he's at 13,000 for his career. He's at 122 touchdowns. I mean, they flashed up. If they flashed up one graphic in the game, they probably flashed up 30 in the game of the different yardage and touchdown combos. And, you know, it's just him and LT on this list. It's him and Jim Brown on this other list. And here we are at the end of the season, Joe, again, and we'll see if they can win the game and get in the playoffs and what all that looks like. But, you know, after kind of the midway point this year, you wondered if maybe things were slowing down for Derrick Henry. He's going to end up yet again, Joe, with somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 yards and somewhere in the neighborhood of like 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd, and it's just – to me, it's just so cool to see, especially this has been a tough year because he's had some fumbles that were really important that have really hurt the Ravens, even in some of his big games. So to see him carry them like that was really remarkable. And like you said, the Packers, you know, I do think that the Huntley run threat helped some, you know, you take eyes away a little bit, but still the Packers – Like they knew what was coming and they couldn't stop it, you know. And obviously, I know your Packers are very banged up. I mean, this is when you lose some key guys, and this can happen. But you can't take away this guy's sitting here now at what 3,600 yards in his two seasons. He's not done with season two since moving to the Ravens. It's amazing. He passed Tony Dorsett, so Tony Dorsett was 10th all time. Tony Dorsett now sits 11th all time. Derrick Henry top 10, and next year he's going to. I mean, I think it's a gimme that he's going to pass Eric Dickerson, Jerome Bettis, LaDainian Tomlinson, and probably Curtis Martin, and be sitting there again. Unless he's hurt, he's going to be sitting there probably. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's still, I guess, is going to take more a 1,000-yard season to get past Martin, but there's a good chance of it that he's going to be sitting right behind Adrian Peterson and Barry Sanders on the all-time list.
Yeah.
And so it's just like you said, all these different. He now has the. I mean, that's a remarkable stat. The most he's been sitting there in a tie forever with Jim Brown and I forget who the other one was, but forever with the 6 200-yard games, most ever. And now he holds that record alone, which is so. I mean, we don't even have to talk about the Hall of Fame anymore.
I mean,
I
it's a
mean,
lot.
it's first ballot gimme. But also, like you said, I mean, you start having to talk about him among the greatest backs, and there's so many different styles among these backs. But when you have that kind of home run ability still at that age, and you are that physical and you're that durable, it's he's a freak, and it's cool to see. I hope we get to see him in the playoffs, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, the other night it was insane because, you know, Tyler Huntley was the quarterback for the Ravens. Like, everybody knew that Tyler Huntley wasn't going to sit back there and just throw the ball around the yard all night long, although he did make, you know, a couple of plays in the passing game. But, you know, look, I understand Micah Parsons isn't playing for the Packers and neither is Devontae Wyatt, and they got a ton of injuries that they're dealing with. That's still like an NFL defense that just got absolutely punked by a running back that everybody knew was getting the ball, right? Like, I mean, he was dealing with stacked boxes the whole night. Everybody knew he was getting the ball, and he still averaged 6 yards carry in the game. And then, you know, another one of those stiff arms, Joe. It wasn't quite the Josh Norman one, but Carrington Valentine almost got thrown into about the eighth row at Lambeau Field on Saturday night. Just another one of those stiff arms where it's like, man, if you're a defensive back, either go low or move, but don't try to go high on him. I can't believe people can't understand this yet.
It wasn't like like the one that you mentioned, but it was like a straight on. It was just kind of really
He
disrespectful, you
pushed him
know.
back
It was just
7 yards.
like, man. Yeah, that one's got to be on the angry runs list too. Nah, it's amazing. It really is. And I still look. I understand that there are more important things than a running back. Although again, I would go back to the Eagles last year and say they had a lot of things going for them. One of the things they had going for them was a 2,000-yard back playing at his absolute best in that run. And I still feel like, you know, with Lamar Jackson, can you get the best version of or a good version of him with Henry? I think they should go win at Pittsburgh, and I think that they could be a super dangerous. Well, they'd be the 4 seed, right? So they'd get a home play. It would be a very dangerous team in this tournament if they can somehow, you know, get Lamar back with the way Henry's running and, you know, Zay Flowers, what he is too. I still think that that could be a team to be reckoned with in this postseason.
Well, and you know, I said it earlier, and people were having this discussion this weekend. You know, he's going to be 32 years old in a couple of days here. And, you know, we keep having the conversation every year of, you know, when is Derrick Henry going to slow down? And look, he's not going to end up with 2,000 yards this year, but he is probably going to end up with, like, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,600 at the age of 32. And like you said, I mean, you start to look at some of these names on the list, he very well could be approaching, you know, sixth on the all-time rushing list by the time next year's done. And look, you know, at 32, I have no idea how much longer he's got left. It goes quickly for running backs in this league. But I think we kind of know at this point he's a different dude. he's probably never going to catch Emmitt Smith in the yardage race. Like that would be unbelievable if he was able to pull that off over the next few years. But I do think, like, by the time he's said and done, Joe, he's probably going to be top six, top five in the history of the game in terms of rushing yards. The touchdown numbers he's going to put up are insane. The combination of the 200-yard games. I've said this before, but some of the plays he makes with the stiff arms that go on the highlight reel. Like, I think you're going to have a serious discussion at the end of his career. Like, is he on the short list, top two, top three of like the greatest running backs to ever play the game by the time this is all said and done? And people were having this discussion over the weekend, Joe, and they were talking about, his high school career and then obviously what he did in college, winning the Heisman, and then throwing that in together in the NFL, like how there's probably never been anyone, when you take all three, high school, how dominant he was, college, what he did at Alabama, and his NFL career, there's probably never been anyone that's had that level of a career. I don't know. Like, I'm not overly familiar with Barry Sanders' high school career, so I couldn't tell you what he did there. But we are getting to the point, like, people keep – there are some conversations I see on Twitter from every now and then. They're like, man, is Derrick Henry going to be a Hall of Famer? I'm like, guys, I think we moved past whether or not he's going to be a Hall of Famer like 3 years ago, and now it's just where exactly is he on the list of the greatest running backs to ever play the game?
Yeah, no, and that's a great point on the high school thing, the fact that this kid almost just beat his record, didn't quite do it. But – that, and I don't know. That's the thing, is I don't know. I mean, you assume any of these guys had insane. Now, I know that Barry Sanders had a 2,600-yard college season, where it's like one of the greatest college seasons ever, which is definitely better than Derrick's, although they both won the Heisman. And yeah, it's interesting too, because it's like how you want to look at eras. Do you more value the running backs who were great when the league was more built around running backs and more built around stopping running backs? Walter Payton and guys like this. Because obviously Derrick Henry he's sort of a throwback, and running backs are always going to be important. Running the ball is always going to be important, but a lot of teams have a combo situation in the backfield, and obviously catching the ball is more prioritized and all that stuff. And he is a straight up, just a running back, but he's, like the Barry Sanders highlights, they'll never there's just never been anyone quite like him. I don't know that there will be someone quite like him, but I think Derrick Henry's highlight tape too, the stiff arms and just the incredible speed and ability to hit home runs at that size is something that'll hold up. But yeah, I'd put him, I think Jim Brown and Barry Sanders are always going to be in the discussion. And Emmitt Smith should not be in the discussion, by the way. I know he's the all-time leading rusher, but he's just not. He's not the same level as the top guys. Adrian Peterson probably should be in the discussion. And then, Dickerson too, I think. And he's probably the most like Derrick Henry, although not nearly as physical, but like the upright, glider. I think he's getting into that situation where when you have that discussion in the future, he at least has to be mentioned. And that's even for 2 years ago when he went to Baltimore, we weren't talking about that at all.
No. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Derrick Henry. Plus, another former Titan over the weekend turned a lot of heads around the NFL. And I wonder if he's going to find himself a starting job next year. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Do you feel like you're ready at this point to be a starting quarterback?
I try not to look too far ahead. I just got to stay where my feet are. And obviously right now I'm backing up Jordan and just doing what I can to stay ready and be ready to go if the team needs me.
You're also, you're playing for next year too, though. And I'm sure that's not lost on you. What would your pitch be to a team that's thinking about getting you that shot?
I think that what you put on tape is your pitch, and obviously, any opportunity, it would be a blessing, and you want to think about that type of stuff, but you can't worry about tomorrow. Today, have enough problems of its own. We got to figure out how to get back on track here.
That's Malik Willis over the weekend, former Titans quarterback, now stepping in there with the Packers. They lost 41-24 to the Ravens over the weekend. It was not from lack of effort on Malik Willis's front. Joe, he was awesome in the game. 18 of 21, 288 yards through the air, had one touchdown. Also added 60 yards on the ground and two touchdowns rushing as well. Malik Willis turning a lot of heads on Saturday Night Football and has people asking the question, I mean, is he going to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League next year? Joe, I thought he was awesome in this game. I mean, he, from the time he left the Titans till now, has really helped himself. Now, you know, he hasn't played that much since then, but he, I mean, last year he got in, they beat the Colts. Obviously, we all know what he did here when the Packers came to Nashville, and he was a starting quarterback in that game. Played great against the Titans. He won another game against Jacksonville last year. And then this year, he stepped in a couple weeks ago when Jordan Love got hurt against the Bears. I think he was 9 of 11 in that game for 121 yards and a touchdown. And then what he did on Saturday night against the Ravens. I mean, Joe is fun to watch. I mean, there was one point we were in a group text with Charles, and it was like, is Michael Vick playing out there? Like, what in the world's going on with Malik Willis? What'd you make of what he did in the game against the Ravens? And what do you make of the idea of him potentially being a starting quarterback in the NFL next year? How realistic do you think that's going to be?
Well, it's amazing to watch him play right now. And it really says some things, and it really doesn't say some things that some people want it to say. So first of all, what does it say? It's a great example of young players. And again, I do think young players who come in from certain offenses need time. And you look at his improvement, it's tremendous. I think it does. I know you want him fired, but I think it absolutely speaks to Matt LaFleur's ability to look at a player at that position, develop skills, but also build things around that player to maximize the player. You have to give a nod to the coaching on this, but more even of a nod to Malik Willis. We always knew that he had a big arm, big, strong arm, could make any throw. Always knew that he was a great athlete, but he's become someone who some teams are going to start looking at as a possibility, at least maybe a possibility in a 2QB competition or whatever. I mean, he's given himself a chance. Anyone who's like looking at this now and wants to go back and shame the Titans for you know, moving on, which I saw, I mean, I actually saw, I mean, I hate to like rip Stilly, but like I saw like his tweets about he was the worst player I've ever seen as a rookie. And like at the same time, he's like, oh, the Titans, you know, just ripping the Titans for letting him go. It's like, wait a minute now. We all saw, anybody who saw him out there, he was not close to a starting quarterback in this league. And frankly, and the discussion we had, Robbie, was, can he keep himself in the league as a backup? Yeah. That's what it was. He was a one-read player. He got starts. And even like Malik himself, I think last week was like, well, I just never got a chance before. It's like, come on, man. That's not what happened. I mean, he actually got starts, and he had a lot of chances to play and to develop and show what he could do, and he just wasn't good enough. He's gotten better. So it's about him getting better, and it's about the coaching he's had. I mean, the Titans, and again, whatever. I mean, I don't even remember who was in charge anymore with the Titans in the past, because like so many people have been fired. Like it's not even necessarily like defending someone. I'm just saying this is one of those situations where people want to go back and relitigate something, and it's not there. It was not there for him. He was a one read and the eyes are down player, and you can't play that way in this league. And he's improved. Good for him. Where it goes from here is going to be really interesting. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Especially the other night to me, Robbie. Like, we've seen him play well and stuff. He came in here last year, and it was like this huge embarrassment for the franchise, whatever. I've seen him play well, but I thought the other night was like a different level for him.
Oh, yeah. That was the best he's looked. And, you know, look, he has done a really good job coming in as a backup over the last couple of years. But, like, I was at the Indy game when he came in. I mean, they ran the ball like 50 times in that game, and he was part of it. But, I mean, they handed the ball to – I mean, Josh Jacobs probably had 25, 30 carries in that game. They handed the ball to Jaden Reed. Like, it was clear last year, even into last year when he was coming in and winning games for them, Joe, that they did not trust him to completely run the offense, right? That was not the case Saturday. Like, to his credit, he has worked. And you mentioned being one read. That's probably the thing that stood out to me the most. Because, look, you know, we have seen Malik Willis, when he was with the Titans, take off running. And it's like, well, I mean, you could probably use that. That's a weapon. Like, he's fast. He's got a good ability to run the football. We've seen him uncork a couple throws where it's like, man, he's got an absolutely live arm out there. But what was different Saturday was he was reading defenses, reading the field, going through progressions, making the right decision, and on a couple of different occasions, Joe, I mean, making some really tight window throws against defenses where there wasn't a whole lot of separation out there, and he made the throw anyway. And, oh, by the way, he was doing all that when he was dealing with a shoulder injury on his throwing shoulder. So there's also that as well that he was dealing with. So, look, I thought it was really cool to see him play the way he did on Saturday. There's all sorts of buzz about him right now in terms of what this is going to mean for him this offseason. I am very interested to see if somebody out there has seen enough from him where they're comfortable making him their starting quarterback next year. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in a situation, maybe he's in a situation where he has a chance to compete to be the starter with maybe a draft pick or something, maybe not a high first rounder, but some team takes a quarterback in the second round and he can come in and compete. I am really interested to see, though, is there a team out there that is like, yeah, screw that. We're signing Malik Willis to be our starting quarterback. He's our guy.
Yeah, and I don't want to compare him to Matt Flynn, but I'm not. Because, yeah, like, oh, like he said, great answer. You know, the tape is the pitch. That tape's going to help him. Yeah, still, there's a lot to find out about whether he can – be a starter and be a difference making starter. I mean, I think any questions about him like overtaking Jordan Love are wild to me.
Yeah, that's not
play great, look great. It's just, you know, come on, like watch. I mean, Jordan Love is one of the best QBs in the league.
Jordan Love was third in the MVP odds 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so but hey, there are like as a runner and even like the speed, but also the power. You know, watching him like spin out of tackles and stuff too. Yeah, he's fun to watch. See, I'm looking at these like Chip from Mount Juliet, you know, this shows the lack of coaching here. And then someone's like, well, Vrabel wouldn't let him throw the ball. Again, guys, like people can improve. What he is now is not what he was here. And they just said, nah, you're not good. Yeah, like every day on that practice field, okay, it was out there for everybody to see. It was not what it is now. He has improved. Good for him. This happens.
There's no doubt about that. The one thing I will say, and I agree with you on the Vrabel front. I mean, the one thing I will say on that front is like the Titans did move on from him as the backup for Mason Rudolph when Brian Callahan was the coach. And I know that we want to give LaFleur all this credit, and that's fine. He deserves credit. I mean, he did like basically – start games for the Packers like 10 days after he got there. I don't know how much time Matt LaFleur had to work with him at that point and played well in those games. So clearly, like to me, this goes back, yes, like LaFleur's done a great job with him and he's gotten a lot better as a player and he's developed. But I go back to the last offseason that he was here, right, where you and others saw him out on the field and were like, you know what, he's gotten better here. I don't know how much better, but he's gotten better. And, you know, 11 days later, after he gets cut from here or traded from here for a seventh-round pick, he's starting and winning games for the Packers. That would be the one where it's like, all right, Callahan, did you not see something you were supposed to see his last part of it here? But like the Vrabel stuff, we all saw it. He played games, and it didn't go very well.
Yeah. No, that's true. And, you know, it's like with Callahan, of course, it's easy to dunk on anything Callahan did now. Yeah, obviously in Callahan's mind, it was like, I got the young Levis, and I'm going with the game manager who has actually won games as a starter in the league. Like, that's an easy choice. I think he said as a no-brainer or something like that. When they, you know, so, yes, you could go back on that. And he did improve. I still – that improvement, though, was not what we're seeing now.
No.
Yeah. No. And so, again, now, does that system coaching in Green Bay? I'm sure that's some of it, too, without question. A lot of people talking Colts for him, which would be interesting. A little Cardinals mention.
Good Lord. It's going to be interesting. Colts and is, like, really good.
Yeah. No, that would, yeah. I mean,
that'll go well.
Yeah. Finally, Chris Ballard, on your 19th try, you got it right.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Monday's made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Come in here and kick Rabel's ass real quick.
You break up with somebody, your girlfriend doesn't want to be with you, and then you say, well, I don't want to be with you either. I'm not going to get into all that.
Would you rather have foot pain, gout, or torn up stomach?
Good Lord, Paul, zip your pants up for Vrabel. There is a little bit of a portion of this fan base, though, that says some of the most asinine stuff I've ever heard of.
And I was like, go Tigers to the fans.
In what ways has he been a great addition?
Who's got the next question, Robbie?
He got a little dirty.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Joe, I want to continue the conversation we've had on the Malik Willis, Derrick Henry, former Titan front, because I've seen a lot of this weekend, too. This was actually from the ESPN Bet account last night. It threw the question out there, could the Titans win the AFC South with Malik Willis, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Mike Vrabel? So it was kind of going through the exercise of, you know, imagining the alternative universe of which all those people are still with the Tennessee Titans. And they weren't the only ones. It was like I saw a lot of discourse over the weekend of, wow, the Titans got rid of Malik Willis, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Mike Vrabel. Really good stuff from maybe Adam Strunk there. I think we really need to separate a couple of these things here, because a couple of these things are not like the other ones. I think we would all agree, Joe, the A.J. Brown trade, an absolute disaster. And if you really want to get down to the kind of the nuts and bolts of all this, of when things started going the wrong way for the Titans, that's probably the first place you can look, is the A.J. Brown trade. It was, it's been a sliding downhill disaster ever since that moment. So I think we all understand that. I think kind of in a similar conversation, maybe not as extreme, but, you know, Vrabel. Moving on from Vrabel, I think even the most ardent of the Vrabel haters with what he's done, by the way, wrapping up the AFC East yesterday and having a potential MVP candidate quarterback. We'll see what that looks like. I think even the most staunch of the Vrabel haters, Joe, would probably have to admit at this point that moving on from Mike Vrabel, probably a mistake by the Tennessee Titans, okay? So those are two things there. The other two, to me, are not remotely in the same conversation. I'm sorry. You know, every time the Derrick Henry conversation comes up, it's like, well, the Titans should have offered him another extension. The Titans should have kept him. Those conversations, if you believe that, that's fine. But they always leave out Derrick Henry's side of this, who was going to be a free agent. The Titans were doing nothing but losing at that point. You had a quarterback in Will Levis that nobody had any idea whether or not he was going to be any good. And Derrick Henry became a free agent and joined the Baltimore Ravens, who have been, last year, a legitimate Super Bowl threat. And who knows? I mean, they're playing a win-in-your-in game coming up this weekend, and we'll see what happens on that front. But people just act like it was like a foregone conclusion that Derrick Henry, had the Titans offered him the contract, was coming back here. And I'm like, guys, I think Derrick Henry wanted to win. There's probably a pretty good chance he wasn't coming back. I don't know. Maybe he was, but people just always leave that part out of the conversation as if it was like Derrick Henry had no say as to whether or not he was going to come back here. So that's the one thing. And Malik Willis, as we just discussed, Joe, it has been a great story. He has turned himself into a really fun player to watch, and I am legitimately rooting for the guy to be a starting quarterback in the league next year, because I think it's going to be really fun to watch if he gets that opportunity. But Malik Willis, when he was on the field here with the Titans, wasn't very good. I mean, you know, we went through in the last segment what that looked like and some of the flaws and how, to his credit, he has worked through that and gotten better. And, Joe, it's another one that you can probably add to the list of what is not just a Titans problem, but an NFL problem at large of giving up on these quarterbacks too soon, which clearly happens in today's day and age. But to me, Derrick Henry, Malik Willis, not the same thing as A.J. Brown and Mike Vrabel. I'm sorry. And everybody needs to quit acting like they are.
Yeah. Well, by the way, if we want to get technical about it, I think the Willis pick was from the A.J. trade.
But, I think it was.
Yeah, but no, the hugely different. It's fun to do these things, right? Put all these players together. And what if they had all these guys? But it wouldn't be the case. A.J. Brown, complete disaster decision. You know, Vrabel firing. You know, things had gone down, so that happens to coaches, but it was a mistake. We said at the time, it should be obvious now that it was a mistake. You know, the Derrick Henry thing, I think it was a low percentage chance that he wanted to return. When Vrabel got fired, you pretty much take it to zero.
Yeah.
He was gone. So, yes, that one is definitely, it's frustrating. And again, I mean, look, even me at the time, I was like, man, you know, Rand Carthen, you guys have got to, you know, like it's like, oh my gosh, they're trading in Derrick Henry for Tony Pollard. But yeah, I think Derrick Henry was ready to move on. And I think especially that particular opportunity, which was a brilliant move by him, because I don't think there's a better place for him than in that Baltimore offense. And yeah, the Willis thing will be, I get it. Like, Jeff on the text line is like, you know, there's just too many ex-Titans who moved on to other teams and shown themselves to be much better than the opinion held by the Titans. I understand the thought process there. But again, I think one of the things that people just have a hard time with in the NFL is the idea that a player who comes in the league at 22 is just destined to be the exact same player at 25. And it's so often not the case. I mean, Josh Allen, keep bringing him up every time. Boy, what a throw at the in that 2-point conversion, by the way. Every once in a while, it's like, geez, there's
yeah, circa 2018.
Josh Allen. Yeah. But talk about a guy who improved. It happens all the time, and it's happening with Malik Willis.
Well, I will say, it does make you wonder, like, what's in store for Will Levis? Like, I was watching Malik Willis out there, and I was like, good God, what is Will Levis going to be doing here in a couple of years? Like, what random Thursday night football game is Will Levis going to be in 2 years for, like, you know, the Tampa Bay Bucks or something. He's out there just lighting it up.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible. Will Levis has the talent. He's kind of been, I think, you know, the pressure's off him now. I think the pressure on his shoulders was a part of the issue here. You know, this whole, like, I have to do this, and it's just every play is, you know, it's going to be a different thing psychologically for him, and he has talent. Also, He sprays the ball over the field too much.
He does. You know?
So we'll see if they – but, yes, get ready, everybody, because that's definitely a possibility at some point. Possibility – you might see a Malik Willis, Will Levis showdown at some point in a huge game in future years, which will be a lot more tolerable if your quarterback ends up being good.
It was, you know, the Saturday night game. They're showing the close-ups after the game, and then they just zero in on midfield of, you know, it's usually the two quarterbacks embracing, and this time it was Derrick Henry and Malik Willis just dabbing each other up at midfield, and then I was like, oh, man, Titans fans, I'm sorry. Shield your eyes. Shield your eyes.
Yeah. Well, look, it's – and the thing is, it's like, look, it has been – it's been a bad organization, obviously, top-down. And there's been some bad coaching, some bad evaluation that have gone on too. So some of this is – there are some players around the league who should be here who I do think that it is just a – it is a case of the Titans screwing it up. You know, but I think with those two guys, there's a lot more to the story.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' 34-26 loss to the Saints yesterday. That is next. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today. Prior to the Monday night football game, tonight's matchup is the Rams taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.